could get happy singing about heaven, couldn't
he? Amen. Just wait till you see what the Lord has prepared. Amen. One of these days, as the song says, by and by. Every day. Every day. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. My, my, my. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I believe we got some saved folks in the house. Amen. Well, glory. Got some born again folks. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Well, glory. Be unto God. Glory to God. Amen. No wonder one writer said it's like fire shut up in my bones. Praise God. Well, give the Lord a great big hand clap of praise. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You may be seated for just a few moments if you would. This week was Vacation Bible School and a great time here, and I believe that Sister Grace has some photos, so we're going to let her run those slides right quick. Is she back in the back? They're already up here? Okay. Just a little bit of the kids' Vacation Bible School this week, and let you view that just a little bit if you wasn't able to be with them.
Welcome to Yeehaw, our amazing VBS, where we saddled up and learned that God gives good gifts. Yeehaw! We stampeded through the wild frontier and rounded up a whole herd of friends. Best of all, we learned that Jesus is God's greatest gift of all. Listen to this great verse we learned from John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. In Bible Adventures, we learned how Jesus gave up the glory of heaven to come to earth. And He didn't just come to earth. He came as a baby. And He didn't just come as a baby. He came as a baby born in a lowly stable. God gave us the gift of His only Son, Jesus. That night, there were shepherds out watching their sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared and told them, "Don't be afraid. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, has been born." Then a bunch of angels appeared, saying, "Glory to God. God gave us the greatest gift of all when He gave us Jesus." God gives good gifts. Yeehaw! Jesus proved His love for us in an amazing way. We learned about it from the book of Luke. Jesus was having dinner with His best friends, the disciples. After dinner, Jesus took a few friends to a garden where He could pray to His Father. Jesus knew He would be betrayed any minute, and after that, He would be arrested. He knew that after He was arrested, He'd be beaten and mocked. And He knew that after all that, He'd be crucified, nailed to a cross to die. Jesus was willing to die to take the punishment for our sins, the wrong things we do. You know, sins are kind of like stones. Stones are usually dirty, That's like sin. Sin makes our hearts dirty. Another thing about a stone is that it's hard. That's like sin too. Sin can make us turn away from God. Imagine if you had to carry around a stone for every wrong thing you do. But when Jesus died on the cross, he took the punishment for our sins. We don't have to carry them anymore. When Jesus died on the cross and came back to life, he defeated sin and death forever. When we believe in Jesus, he'll always be with us here on earth. And we can live with him forever in heaven. Let's celebrate with some singing.
As you can tell, I think the kids had a great time this past week, and they were able to accomplish several things, and we thank the Lord for those that helped, quite a few characters in the little slideshow, so we appreciate them donating their time and effort, but the main thing is they got to learn about Jesus this week, amen, and that's precious. And if you notice the little bags at the end, those are specially prepared by Vacation Bible School this year, and if you see on this side, there's like three back seats completely full of the bags that they prepared for school children that may not be able to have all the things that they need to start school. So we're going to be giving those, amen, to those students who are in need. And they have asked, too, that before the service is over, that if we would, some of the elders of the church gather around and pray for those bags, and not only the bags, but the recipients of those bags, that God will just bless them not only with their school, but God will just bless them and keep them safe. Amen. All right. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. Amen. Glory. Praise God. Well, God is great. Amen. The Bible says, and greatly to be praised. And I thank God that we can praise Him in everything that we do. Amen.
You have your Bibles, go with us to the book of St. Mark this morning, into the 15th chapter of the book of Mark. Continue to entertain the Spirit of the Lord that is in this place this morning. Such a spirit of deliverance, I feel, that is very present in this place this morning. Let us be in one mind and one accord and receptive to the move of God. From St. Mark chapter number 15, beginning with verse number 34. When you get there, say, "Praise the Lord." And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, "Behold, he calleth Elias." And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it in a reed, gave it to him to drink, saying, "Let alone, let's see whether Elias will come to take him down." And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for this opportunity to come into your house to worship this morning. God, thankful for those who've gathered here today. Father, I pray, God, that you would just open up the window of heaven. God, pour out an anointing spirit upon this congregation. God, I pray that you would meet every need in this house this morning. God, I pray that you would now anoint these lips of clay. God is nothing more than a messenger, God, and a vessel, God, that you might speak to our hearts today. God, I pray that we would take your word to heart. I pray that we would be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word. And we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And we ask it in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. Praise God. Today I want to bring a message entitled, "When the Divide Became Bridged." When the divide became bridged. We hear and we read of an account of Jesus' last hours on this earth. And it's very remorseful to our flesh, very sorrowful. But how many knows it was a mission completed? How many is thankful the price that Jesus Christ paid on the cross of Calvary? How many truly understands what that means? Give the Lord praise if you do. Thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. But there were some significant things that happened when Jesus gave up the ghost. First of all, it was quite out of the ordinary that a human being would die so early in the stages of crucifixion. Crucifixion in itself was a very cruel way of punishment and execution, and it was meant to be so. It was meant to be agonizing, not short-lived, but long and dreadful and painful expiration of breath. And finally, the person who was hanging on that crucifix or that cross would die very, very slowly. Many, many times they would die so slowly that some of the guards would come around, and in fact, if they had not died out of suffocation yet, they were able to lift themselves up in order to breathe. Many, many times the legs would be broken with a club in order that they couldn't push themselves up anymore so that they might go ahead and die. And this was not the case with Jesus. Jesus' suffering was bad, but he died before a broken bone, a man, was inflicted upon his body. How many knows that is prophecy, by the way? It was prophesied. But something else significantly happened. The Bible said that graves were opened, the earth shook, and the veil in the temple was rent or torn from the top to the bottom. Now, I want us to understand the significance of this particular veil and why there was a veil to begin with. Man, how many knows that there was a time when we did not have access, amen, to the throne of God? We could not come boldly before the throne of grace. There was a division. There was a partition. There was a go-between. It was actually instituted in the book of Exodus in chapter number 26.
If you want to turn there with me, you're welcome to do so. In the book of Exodus, chapter number 26, beginning with verse number 31. The Bible says, "And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple." These are the instructions of God to Moses, his servant. "And of scarlet and of fine twined linen, of cunning work, with cherubims shall it be made. And thou shalt hang it upon four pillars of shittim wood, overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold, upon the four sockets of silver. And thou shalt hang up the veil under the tashes, that thou mayest bring in thither, within the veil, the ark of the testimony." Pay very close attention to these preceding words, and are these words, "And the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy." This particular veil was put in place as a division. It would divide mankind from the holiest of holies. How many knows that only the priest could go in behind into the holiest of holies, and that for only one time of the year, so that the sins of man could not be atoned for but rolled back. Amen. How many is glad that we now have a Savior who has atoned for our sins? So we understand that God put this veil into place, and it was God's will and God's word. And for many, many years, this was the custom. People would go and they would make sacrifices. They would give the sacrifices to the priest, and the priest would go in on behalf of them. How many is thankful today that you don't have to go through somebody to get to the Lord? How convenient that is now. How easy the Lord has made accessibility to come into the throne of grace. Amen. So many times we can't schedule a time 3 or 4 hours ahead of the time that we need to speak to the Lord. How many knows that there's times in our lives that we need Him now? We need Him immediately. And thank God He is a Father that's close at hand, a Savior, amen, that's not far off, but one that is there for us. Whatever the situation or occasion may arise, we have instant accessibility to the Lord. I want to share with you this morning the vastness of this veil. Many times we think of a veil as a sheer curtain that is hanging somewhere. This was not the case. It was not one of the curtains that when the wind blows, it kind of stands out straight. Many, many times we see and are used and accustomed to these curtains. But those type of curtains were never meant to be a partition or to be a place of where you could not penetrate. But this curtain, amen, that was built even in the time of Moses, a lot of attention was paid to this particular curtain and this veil. We understand that it was very coarse. It was very thick, and it was durable, and it was meant to be a divide. It was meant to be a partition between man and God, where we could not have accessibility. And we find even in later years, during the time of Christ's crucifixion, how many knows the temple became a permanent place under Solomon's reign, and he constructed this beautiful, beautiful temple. The Bible tells us, and Bible history tells us, that the veil was placed in place in that particular temple. Now, the veil from the Solomon's temple varied a little bit from the veil of the wilderness. Now, it was meant to be a permanent veil. It was meant to be a permanent divide. And history tells us that in cubits, if we put those cubits into feet, some writer figured that up and said the veil or the curtain was about approximately 60 feet high. I want you to think about that just a little bit. I don't want to dwell on this too long, but I want us to understand this veil. Amen. It was not just a little flimsy curtain. It was meant, amen, to keep folks out. Amen. It was meant, amen, that you could not have access and could not enter into the holiest of holies. And one writer determined that this veil could have been at least, or at the maximum, about 4 inches thick.
almost as a wall, if you would. This was something, amen, that you would not just push aside and walk in. It was meant, amen, to keep folks out. It was meant, amen, a place where you could not come in to the holiest of holies. How many is glad? How many is glad that Jesus changed that? Aren't you thankful this morning that we do have accessibility? This particular time as Jesus was hanging on the cross, we understand, and I believe with my whole heart, that incidents, I got the one. That when Jesus gave up the ghost and all of the things that went around that, as we find in the book of St. Mark, and all of the things that were happening, even the centurion that stood by him and recognized that this truly was the Son of God. But the writer Mark says, when he gave up the ghost, the veil of the temple was rent. I want you to imagine the strength. I want you to imagine the power source that tore that veil. Many, many times we see evidence of the force of wind. Here, not many, many months ago, a place where we hunt, down in Alabama, a tornado came through and just went through a path of devastation, and it was remarkable to see the force of the wind. Buildings were just torn apart, almost like a bomb exploded, and we stood back and we looked at that, and we thought to ourselves what a powerful force the wind can be and what damage it can do, and many people were hurt and some were fatally injured, and we thanked God that he took care of those that were around. And it was a devastating sight to behold. But it was a force, amen. A force like that we, even to this day, people have great difficulty describing the force of a hurricane or a tornado. I want you to understand that when Jesus gave up the ghost, when the breath of life left him, this remarkable power force that had been from the very beginning of time, by the way, and will last forever and ever and ever. I thought about the power of that strength that tore and ripped that veil apart. That very powerful also was so gentle that it breathed breath into the life of man. As God formed and fashioned him from the dust of the earth, the great and powerful force of Almighty God was yet so gentle that it gave life, amen, to a void, a manner of man that was fashioned out of the dust of the earth. And I thought, my God, how powerful you are, but yet how loving you are. God, you can love me, you can take care of me, but still you have the power and the vastness, amen, to speak the world into existence. And I thought, what a great and mighty force that was, and how that God, when he made that veil, and he made it for a purpose, but how many knows that one day the order of service changed. Amen. Aren't you glad today? Some folks say, I wished I could live in the old times. I'm so thankful to be able to live under the dispensation of grace. I'm so thankful that I can now enter in boldly to the throne of grace. I'm so glad that when I have a need, I have a God who is there for me. I'm so glad that when I came to an altar of repentance, I didn't have to go through a priest. I didn't have to go through a veil. I could feel his holy presence, that powerful force that took that veil and ripped it from the top to the bottom, signifying that no man could do that. Hallelujah. If you're thankful, put your hands together. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus became the bridge into the holiest of holies. Do you understand that our goodness could never penetrate that veil? Do you understand today that contrary to popular belief, Your name on a church roll book could never penetrate that veil. Do you understand that 100% attendance, never missing a service, and that alone could not penetrate the thickness of that veil? Do you understand the goodness of your parent, your mom, your dad, your grandmother that prayed for you, your grandfather that was such a hero to you? We cannot go through that veil making on somebody else's goodness. Amen. How many knows that it took the grace of God? How many knows that the Lord wanted a people to serve Him? He wanted a closer relationship with Him. He wanted to take His Spirit out of a structure of temple and mortar and put it in the soul of man. How many knows the temple of God today is not something standing so high? It's not something looks so beautiful. The temple of God today is meant to be the soul of man, where we have instant accessibility to the throne of grace, where we can go when we have troubles and trials. And Jesus is near. He became the bridge. Hallelujah. How many knows we have to cross that bridge to the holiest of holies? Glory to God. I began to think this week about the vastness of the veil and how it had stood as a separation for years and years. I thought about God's purpose. And even when God chose to speak to His people prior to the death of Jesus Christ, it would be in a burning bush. It would be in a fiery mountain. It would be in a still, small voice. But never really a personal relationship. Many folks today like to drop names. Somehow they feel that it makes them a little more important if they can mention a name that they know. But have you had a personal relationship with that name of that person? It's quite customary to say, I know a man who knows a man who knows a man. Come on. We like to drop those names. Yeah. I know the governor personally. I once wrote a letter to him. Come on. Amen. The president of the company once invited me into his office. He told me I needed to find a different job. Just because we can drop a name doesn't mean we have a personal relationship. I thought about some of the trials, some of the afflictions, some of the things that I've faced in this life. And I thought about how awful it would be to go into the temple, know that I could not have access, know that I could only go to a certain point, and I was not allowed to go any further than that designated point. Do you understand how lonely? Do you understand how forsaken? Do you understand how overwhelmed we might feel and we might be if we took our burden to the veil and we could not go any further? But I know a man. I said, I know a man who so wanted a personal relationship. with his children. I know a man, the Bible talks about him, a man, amen, who was not spectacular in physique. His physical characteristics were not superhuman, but he was in fact the anointed one. He was in fact the Son of God. He was in fact that sacrificial lamb. He and he alone became my bridge, and I crossed that bridge. Oh, do you remember? Oh, can you tell me how it felt when you went to the bridge and you knew you could go in to the holiest of holies? Oh, hallelujah. All was gone. All became new. All things passed away. When I came to the bridge and I found Jesus, I said, I found Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The one who made it accessible for me to come and enter into the presence of Almighty God. He became the bridge into the holiest of holies. Can you imagine saving up your problems, saving up your trials to once a year, then traveling and going through someone else to get healing, to get relief, to get victory? Man, I cannot imagine, because I am so accustomed to a Savior that lives within me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because He lives, I can now live. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I do believe with all of my heart that there was a reason the writers wrote the expiration, if you would, of Christ as giving up the ghost rather than using the term dying. Because even though there was the death of the flesh, how many knows that ghost, that spirit, that breath of God never dies? It lives on, and it lives on today. Glory to God. It just simply moved from one temple to another. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I don't have to travel to Jerusalem. I'm so glad I don't have to find the temple. I'm so glad. And by the way, the temple of Solomon was later destroyed. Amen. Let me tell you something. When God moves out of a temple, come on, you can shout with that too. I said, when God, the Spirit of God, moves out of a temple, it is set for destruction. Glory to God. Remember, always keep the power of God. Always keep that holiest of holies within this temple. That temple was torn down. Amen. But God moved from that temple that was made by hands into the temple, amen, that He spoke into existence. He's alive. He's alive and well in the temple of man. Glory to God. Oh, put your hands together. Come on, thank the Lord for the price He paid, for what He done. The bridge that gave accessibility into the holiest of holies. Glory to God. Praise God. Folks, I don't want to alarm you, but we're living in a time of restricted accessibility. One reason is because every new device, every new way of locking and unlocking situations has been compromised by an enemy. Listen to me. No longer can we come up with a device that we think is fail-safe to those that are up for harm can copy and have accessibility. It used to be that locked doors kept folks out. No longer. It used to be a bank account would keep folks from writing your name and having accessibility to what you have. We even thought when we had the cards, that nobody could ever have accessibility to our accounts. How many knows that we're living in reality? People all time are stealing your identification. Man, and having access into something that belongs to you. There was a time when nothing we could do, nothing within our means could cross or bridge the accessibility into the holiest of holies. Even God, I need you touch right now, would not give us access into the holiest of holies. It would be almost like as we go today and we try to punch in the code that has changed and the words come up, access denied. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how many times you've had to call on the Lord just this year? How horrifying, how disappointing it would be when we fell on our knees before Almighty God. And the words came back, access denied. I begin to think about that. And I begin to think about that veil that once served a purpose, but now kept folks out of the holiest of holies into the very presence of God. But how many knows that something miraculous happened on the day that Jesus Christ was crucified? So many Christians think about that as a day of sadness, rightfully so in flesh. They think about that as something that was terrible. And understand it was. He took our stripes. He was not guilty. We were. But He stood on our behalf. But sometimes I think we as born-again Christians fail to realize that something else great happened on that day when Jesus Christ was crucified, when He gave up the ghost. When He gave up the ghost, we were able to receive the ghost. We were able to receive the Comforter. We were able to have accessibility through the Christ to live inside of us. The Savior, hallelujah, to come into our lives, to lead us, to guide us. Amen. To help us through this trial that we call life. Access granted. Glory to God. Oh, it's an access granted. Come to me, all ye that labor, all that are heavy laden. You'll find rest in the arms of Christ. Bring me your sins. Bring me your backsliding. Bring me your cares. I will deliver. Access has been granted because the veil was torn for our accessibility. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And a personal relationship is now possible. Hallelujah. I thought about many times that maybe folks went with great anticipation to the temple for whatever reason. They went through the traditional things. They gave the sacrifice. And on the long walk home, maybe a part of them felt justified. But I can't help but think that something was missing. Let me bring it into a modern term. For many years, I went to church. And I felt good about going to church. Sometimes it wasn't my idea. But when I lived under Daddy's roof, come on, I did what Daddy said. When he said, son, get ready, we're going to church. And granted, I would feel a little better. The songs of praise, the Word of God, which back then I didn't really want to listen to. Amen. My favorite words, my favorite part of the sermon was when my granddaddy said, in closing. Come on, none of you have ever been there, have you? In closing. But can I tell you that upon leaving church and going back through my weekly routines, there was something missing. Please don't get me wrong. I love church and I love worship and I believe in attendance. But there was something missing that the church couldn't give me. And I thought about those people. There was something missing. That just a trip to the temple and only to the veil, it couldn't give them what they needed. Until one night, the message was more than just words. The Spirit gripped my heart. It convicted my soul. It let me know that I did not have to leave in the same condition that I came. That bears repeating. It let me know I didn't have to leave in the same sinful condition that I came. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I was so thankful because it took all of my strength. It took all of my ability, if you would, to push myself up off of that pew and make my way down to an old-fashioned altar. And I'm so glad. Can I tell you? I said I'm so glad that there was not a veil there at the altar. There was not something that I could not penetrate. But I walked boldly and I knelt down in an old-fashioned altar and Jesus saved me. I said He saved me. He forgave me. He loved me. He brought into my life a personal relationship. No longer could I just know about Jesus. But from that day on, I knew Jesus because He took His abode in this temple. I had a personal relationship which was now possible because the divide had been bridged. I read somewhere this week, an author wrote that God was not disappointed. God was not upset when the veil was rent. I know God did it, but I believe God wanted a personal relationship. I don't know the mind of God. His thoughts, His ways are higher than mine. I'm still scratching the surface of all that He is and all that He can and will do. But I'm thinking that maybe God grew tired of being in a confined area and just having a once a year relationship with His children. You never call me. You never visit me. I only hear from you when you need something. Does that sound familiar? A parent's love is great, but pales in comparison to God's love for His humanity, for His children. Maybe because of God's own word and the institution of the veil in the temple. Could it have been at times He wanted to reach through that veil and console the heart of man? Would it be feasible to think that He just wanted to wrap His arms around us? But because of His word, the veil would not allow it. And His love for humanity became so great that he said, I will send my spirit. Amen. And the virgin birth of Christ was formulated. Why, Brother Eddie, would he go through a human? Because God won't change his word. He would not change the blood atonement. Come on. But the only blood atonement that would wash away sins rather than roll back sins, goats couldn't do it, sheep couldn't do it, turtle doves couldn't do it. It took the sacrificial lamb of God to do it. To give a personal relationship with us. Amen. Glory to God. So he sent his son to bleed and die on the cross of Calvary. Come on. He was never meant to live a long life on this earth. He was meant to be the bridge. Amen. That bridged the gap. That bridged the divide between us and the Heavenly Father and the Spirit of God that we now have living in this temple. Put your hands together. For the great bridge. Put your hands together for Jesus Christ. Because now, God is no longer restricted to a temple made with hands. No longer restricted. Man, I thought about the confinement of a restricted area. The kids went on vacation week before last. And Penny and I became grandparents of Comet, the dog. And they have a restricted area for Comet to dwell in. And I was to go down and feed and water him, and I left the gate open. On purpose. 3 hours later, I was still trying to talk him to going back into the restricted area. Come on, there's something about being set free. But anyway, what was he doing? He's just running around having a good time. Hallelujah. That little church I was telling you about. Before I came to the altar, I was in a restricted area. I only thought I was free. I only thought I was my own man. Oh. Y'all just bear with me. Every once in a while, I think about it all over again. And somehow it's just as real today as it was that night. I'll put it this way. I knelt in that altar in a restricted area. But Jesus left the gate open. Not accidentally, but on purpose. He set me free. Once like a bird in prison I dwelt. No freedom from my sorrow I felt. Oh, but Jesus came. Hallelujah. And he opened that door for me. And praise God ever since. I've just been running around thanking him, praising him, glorifying him for what he did for me. I'm free. I'm free from that restricted area. No longer is there a veil between us. No longer do I have to go to somebody else. I can go to Jesus. Hallelujah. Not only can I, but I'm encouraged to. Come on. There's one thing about having accessibility, but there's another thing about having an open invitation. Come on. Hallelujah. For all you people, they were like, in closing, go with me to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. verses 19 through 22. As I said, it's one thing to have access. It's entirely different to have an open invitation. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Is it fair to say that we should be ashamed of ourselves when we say things like, I hate to take this to Jesus? Or, I don't know if I need to ask the Lord about this little trivial thing or not. After what Jesus did for us, He says, I want you to have boldness over to God. Not boldness in yourself, but boldness into your open invitation to come, amen, by the blood of Jesus Christ, to enter into that holiest of holies by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil. Say that with me. Through the veil. Glory to God. Not to the veil, but through the veil. Put your hands together for through the veil. Hallelujah. That is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Boldness to enter. Boldness to ask. Boldness to petition. Boldness, amen, to have that personal relationship with Jesus. Hallelujah. Because the divide has been bridged. Come on. It's been bridged. And that bridge, we have access. Glory to God. Would you stand to your feet? Every head bowed. And every eye closed. And all the saints of God praying. If you're here today and you're not taking full advantage of that accessibility, if you've not come to an altar of repentance, you've been living in a restricted area. You've been confined. Sure, you have a little joy and a little satisfaction, but it's very short-lived. Can I tell you today, you can have true peace and everlasting joy when you take advantage of that open invitation to come beyond the veil into the holiest of holies. While every head is still bowed, every eye closed, if this is a situation that you're going through, please come. Let this be the day of that breakthrough for you. Let this be the day that gate is opened on your behalf. Is there one today? While the true Spirit of God is pulling and urging, could this be your time? Could this be your appointed time with Christ? Hallelujah. I pray, my heart's prayer is that every person under the sound of my voice has made that preparation, is ready to go, because we don't know the day nor the hour when the breath of life leaves us. But by there no one coming forward, I take it that every soul is ready. Every soul is right. And for that, I thank God with all of my heart. Before we dismiss, I would ask some of the elders, if they would, to go back and gather on the last three pews of the right, my right side, which is the piano side, where the bags have been prepared. And if you can, lay your hands on them. If you can't, we're just going to pray.